Welcome to In Plain Legal. I'm DNA High Easton, and today we're making the law something everyone can understand. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to In Plain Legal. I'm your host, DNA High Easton, and today we're tackling something that every business owner faces, tax season. For many, it's a time filled with stress, confusion, and the fear of overpaying. But what if tax season didn't have to be overwhelming? Joining me is Olga Hurtado, founder of Neat Books. Olga took her business from a solo $12,000 venture to a $1 million success, all while helping entrepreneurs simplify their finances and take control of their money. With her MBA in business analytics and expertise in systems like Profit First, Olga's mission is to take the chaos out of accounting and empower business owners to thrive. Olga, thank you for joining and welcome to the show.
Thank you, DNA, for inviting me.
You're welcome. Well, let's dive right in. Entrepreneurs feel overwhelmed and unprepared during tax season, often losing money due to lack of planning. What do you think are the most common mistakes you see small business owners make that cause them to pay more in taxes than they really need to?
Well, DNA, what I've seen and I witnessed with mostly all of my clients is that they wait until tax season to look at their numbers. So there's nothing to plan there. You just have to react right there. So another common mistake that I see with these clients is that they mix personal expenses with business expenses, which makes them lose deductions. So you cannot track mileage or meals or home office properly. Those small things, they add up fast. So you do not wait until tax season to look at your numbers. Just do it in a regular basis.
So would you say that, you know, obviously, depending on the type of legal structure we're talking about, you know, people might have to do taxes at different times, but, you know, for most entrepreneurs, they are kind of on the LLC basis, or they're solo practitioners, right? So they are in control and do a sole proprietorship, right? So they typically look at the quarters. Would you say that based on the common mistakes, it's good for people to start looking at their taxes quarterly instead of waiting until the whole year to file?
Well, that would be ideal. You know, the sooner the better. If you wait until the end, there's nothing you can do. You're just going to have to react to the results you have at the end of the year. But if you do it, you know, year round on a quarterly basis, that will be better for your business and for you and for your pocket. Yeah, just by setting aside a few minutes, like, you know, each quarter, it doesn't have to be like a thorough audit of your books or anything like that. You just gotta have to, you know, like sit down and review that your books are accurate and see the bottom line and see how that is gonna affect your, you know, your taxable income. That's when you're gonna see like, oh, okay, what should I do now? Like, you can hire a professional to do that as well to help you and to guide you throughout, you know, that process. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, the only responsible person for your taxes is yourself. Like, nobody else is gonna do it.
That makes sense. So along those lines, how can building simple year-round financial habits make tax season less painful and actually empowering?
Well, as I just said, like setting aside a few minutes, okay, every quarter. If that's the time you have, then do it quarterly, that's okay. Because it's gonna empower you. The more information you have throughout the year, it's gonna empower you to have like to make better decisions, even for your tax liability. So you can see trends when you start reviewing your books on a quarterly or monthly basis. You start seeing trends on your transactionality. Okay, so you can catch errors early. You can actually feel that you have more control of your books. And if you see, for example, that your accountant or bookkeeper coded something incorrectly, that you're gonna catch it, and probably it's not an expense, it's a distribution. Let's say, for example, it's a big amount. Then you're gonna have a huge impact that you didn't catch earlier, that you didn't account for, for your tax liability. So imagine that. So to me, it's just, you know, take a couple of minutes, throughout the quarter, throughout the months, just to review them, the details, things that catch your attention, that will be enough for you to start creating a habit for that.
That's really, really, really good advice. And I think most people, including myself, need to make sure that we pay attention to it. So, what do you think are some of the most, overlooked deductions or tax breaks that entrepreneurs often miss but could make a big difference in their bottom line?
Well, listen, the normal ones, probably professional education. Most of these business owners don't understand the importance of training themselves and learning more. So those professional education, you can, if they are business related, you can deduct those. Also, if you use your home as, as your office, then you can have a percentage of that deducted from your tax liability. However, there are some deductions when you're a business owner, and that comes with a tax plan that you can use as well. For instance, if you are a business solo business owner and you want to have a 401k, you can do that, and you can leverage that towards your taxable income, and that will be money to you, for you, to your old self. Okay, so you're not paying that money to the IRS. That's also an overlooked deduction. And also, if you're gonna offer benefits to your employees, if you have employees and you know that you can actually help them with those fringe benefits, those are gonna be deductions. And by the way, if you have a 401k for your employees as well, you have a business credit. So that would be amazing. A business tax credit, that will be amazing for you to review with your tax your tax accountant, so you can have, a better idea of what are the other options besides only expense deductions.
That's amazing. And I have to say, I'm going to go a little off topic with you for like a 1 minute. But one question I do have, because after COVID happened, we're kind of in the day and age of everything being virtual. So, you had mentioned at one point that an office or working from home is a business expense. What happens if you're kind of in that virtual hybrid situation where your house can operate as part of your business, but you're also going into an office physically? Does that qualify for a deduction or a tax break?
No, in theory, no. Okay, because you already have a business that you can go to. Okay, these are for people that have 100% a separate space in your house for your office, and you have a room. There's no bed there. Like, nobody sleeps in that room. So if you are in that position that you work 100% remote, you have an office space, you have, your desk, everything in that space, and that will be, like 100% the place that you work in, then yes, you can deduct that portion of your house as a business deduction in your, in your taxes, in your
Well,
income taxes.
thank you for sharing that for us. And why is proactive tax planning, looking ahead, much more powerful than just reacting when it's time to file?
Well, it's strategy. Like, you gotta strategize that part of your business, because the taxes from a surprise, that becomes a problem, because sometimes business owners, they don't save money for their taxes. So that's when, the stress comes along. So if you have that tax plan throughout the year, and you have the cash flow and everything organized in your finances, you might decide whether or not to buy an equipment, which, by the way, you can depreciate 100% doing, in your taxes. Also, if you have employees and you have, like a bunch of income that you need to, start like deducting, then you can pay bonuses to your employees, and that will be beneficial to them and beneficial to you, because that will motivate them. So the way that you actually start reducing your taxes with a proactive tax planning, it's more like playing chess instead of checkers. So you start like thinking about, okay, I have this money, and I don't go around and running to buy the most expensive car, because that's what most people do. Okay, what you gotta do is, okay, I'm gonna buy an asset that it can convert some revenue into my business, because that's what assets for. Okay, and also I can motivate my clients with bonuses. Also, I can maximize my 401k, which is gonna be beneficial to me. So that's basically the proactive tax planning approach that you want to listen from a tax advisor.
That sounds amazing, and it sounds like that working with a tax professional really can shift the outcome compared to going at it alone and relying on basic tax software. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And not only that, if you only rely on social media, for instance, TikTok, and you are, listening to TikTok and scrolling on social media just to get tax advice, you're gonna get screwed. Because there are too many tax advices there that are incorrect. So find someone reliable that can help you build this strategy, but that you can leverage that money and put it into your cash flow, okay? And grow your business from those tax savings.
That is amazing, amazing insight and advice, and I really appreciate you sharing that with our viewers. Coming up next, Olga reveals the hidden financial pitfalls of franchises and how to avoid getting trapped. Stay with us. We'll be right back with clear explanations, practical advice, and the legal insights you need without the jargon. This is In Plain Legal on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm DNA High Easton, and you're watching In Plain Legal on Now Media Television. Let's continue breaking down the law together. Welcome back to In Plain Legal. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to In Plain Legal and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back. I'm here with Olga Hurtado. And in this segment, we're focusing on the financial side of franchises. Many business owners step into franchise opportunities without realizing the hidden costs, and that lack of clarity can quickly eat away at profits. Franchise owners face hidden fees and obligations they didn't anticipate, leading to financial strain. Olga, what makes franchise accounting so different and sometimes more complicated than running an independent small business?
Well, in our experience, it gets complicated because you are managing two layers, okay? You're managing your own business, but you're also managing the franchisor's requirements. So you have royalties, you have, like the national marketing fees, you have brand standards, and every franchise system tracks revenues differently. So if you make a mistake in one of these reportings, that can affect your compliance. So that's why it gets a little bit tricky, that part.
That makes a lot of sense. And this is why it's so good to make sure you talk with a tax professional because us lawyers, we know the legal side of things. But it's always important to make sure that your taxes are being taken care of. So, what financial surprises do new franchise owners often face that they wish they had known about before signing the contract?
Well, there are so many, but I think the ones that they don't realize that it's the how many fees are tied to a contract, okay? For instance, POS, the point of sale, sometimes it gets tricky because it charges a lot of fees. Also, there are marketing fees and training fees. So I think that the ideal part of having a good financial strategy when you come to buy a franchise is that you don't underestimate those fees. Like you get to get got go to your research, okay, and make a list of all these surprising fees that any franchise owner can find, so you can have a better expectation what's going to happen in your financials when your franchise it starts, like, actively, like it's already on. So, the bad news about the fees is that they're gonna eat up your cash flow quickly. The good news is that if you build a budget with an expectation or a more likely reality of what's gonna happen, then you're gonna be prepared.
So, with that being said, I mean, it's good to make sure that you kind of have a team rallying behind you so that you're aware of what these possible fees can look like. So, would you encourage franchise owners to seek an attorney and then speak with someone like you before, obviously, once the contract is being made, or before they even speak with an attorney? I mean, I guess I'm kind of looking for timeline-wise, when should they seek an attorney and when should they be able to speak with you before they know and are aware of these possible fees?
Well, if I were a franchise owner, to be honest, I will talk to another franchise owner, okay? And ask them about their experience. Like, you go online and you make t you know you check your reviews for any restaurant you're going to, or if you're gonna buy a software, then you do your research, and you read the reviews. So do the same. Do the due diligence for your franchise acquisition. Ask other franchise owners from the same franchise chain and ask them, okay, what are the fees that we're hitting when you sign the contract? Not because the franchisor, hit those fees for you, but that they didn't consider those because it's supposed to be like operational expenses. So that way it can give them like clarity on how they can budget for those fees. But that will be my piece of advice. If I were them, I will go to another franchise owner and I will ask them.
That's good. That's good. It's always good to have those conversations with other people because then you can kind of bounce those ideas and figure out what you want to do once you have an informed decision. So, let's kind of segue a little bit. How can proper bookkeeping prevent disputes or misunderstandings with the franchisor?
Well, because if you have a bookkeeping, you have clean records to protect you, to show you the reality. So if you have a difference between whatever is in your bookkeeping and whatever you are reporting to the franchisor, that's going to be a mess because the franchisor is going to come back to you and I'm going to tell you, listen, your numbers are not correct. You underpay me my fees, my royalty fees. So that might, become a more, an issue with the franchisor. And also if there is some miscommunication or inconsistent reporting, they might actually, do something against you if you keep doing that. So, piece of advice, hire an accounting firm that can you can outsource the bookkeeping or hire an internal bookkeeper, but keep the record straight because that will penalize you with the franchisor.
Okay, that's good. That's good. We're scaring our viewers in the best way possible, right? Because I mean, they have to make sure that they have the proper bookkeeping because if you then get into a dispute, then you're going to have to contact an attorney to be able to fight all of the problems, and we want to avoid that at all costs. So,
Definitely.
what strategies help franchise owners protect their profits while still meeting all the financial obligations required by the franchise?
Budgets. Create clear budgets and separate the funds for royalties, for marketing, for operations. And if you have a franchise, if you're a franchise owner, review your P&Ls monthly because at the end of the day, you make a huge investment in that franchise. There is no cheap franchise, okay? It comes along with a lot of investments from the franchisee. So just don't throw it into the garbage. Do your due diligence with your P&Ls. Question everything that doesn't make sense to you and compare the budgets with your P&L. Just an example, we have a franchise owner that he's so sharp with his budgets that when you review the variance between actuals versus budgets, you'll see like the difference is like 0.2%, something like that. That's a person who knows their numbers, okay? So that's your goal. If you have a budget and you create it very clear with your P&L and you review it on a monthly basis, you are not going to be in a bad position with your franchisor.
And for people who don't know, can you just briefly describe what a P&L is?
The P&L is the profit and loss statement. It's basically your income statement. It shows your revenues, your costs, and everything that it's expenses. So basically, it's the operations of your business. What, how much you sold, how much it cost you, and all the expenses that are tied to that business cycle.
Thank you
And
so much.
at the end of the day, the bottom line is your net income. Whatever you made as, you know, as a total income that is gonna, you know, that's gonna be your tax liability if you are a corporation or if you're an LLC or an S corp is gonna flow to your tax to your personal taxes.
Thank you. And so, beyond just sales numbers, what financial reports or indicators really show whether a franchise is truly successful?
Cash flow. You gotta measure your cash flow. You can have a beautiful net income, Dion. DNA. You can have like $150,000 net income, and you can have $0 in your bank account. And I've seen that. Okay, you can even have high sales and still lose money because you're not tracking your expenses correctly. So make sure that you track all the KPIs, all the ratios that are there for franchise owners, because sales are not the only measure that you can have for your business. If you don't have enough money to cover next week's expenses, then you know your business is not doing very well, even though your P&L or your profit and loss statement is showing that you have a big chunk of net income. So make sure that your profitability and whatever you're distributing yourself, as you know, as the money left in the bank account is consistent. Like you cannot take all the money that is in the bank account and make it a day without considering what is going to happen next week. What if next week another pandemic arises? What is going to happen with your cash flow? So it is extremely important that besides sales, you measure your cash flow consistently.
That is so insightful, and I just have to say thank you for sharing all that information. So, Olga, for franchise owners watching today who want more guidance, where can they connect with you and your firm, NeatBooks?
Well, we have a website and neatbooksllc.com, and we also have we have a button right there that you can contact us for more information. Also, we have an email address, which is customersuccess@neatbooksllc.com, that you can write us with any question you may have, or you know, if you want to work with us, you're more than welcome to do so. And if you can also connect with me on LinkedIn.
Thank you very much. Well, up next, we're tackling a silent but deadly threat to business success, fraud inside your company. Stay with us. We'll be right back with clear explanations, practical advice, and the legal insights you need without the jargon. This is In Plain Legal on Now Media Television. Stay with us. We'll be right back with clear explanations, practical advice, and the legal insights you need without the jargon. This is In Plain Legal on Now Media Television. Welcome back to In Plain Legal. We've been talking with Olga Hurtado about protecting your business finances. In this segment, we're focusing on something no one wants to imagine: fraud. Unfortunately, it's a silent threat that can cost businesses everything if not caught early. Business owners are vulnerable to financial fraud, often from people they trust most. Olga, what warning signs should business owners pay attention to that might indicate fraud or theft within their business?
Well, DNA, let me tell you something first. Fraud and cash flow are the topics that I talk the most with the small business owners who have employees and are growing. So, based on our experience, I'm going to list you four that are going to be like the main ones that I have found throughout these years. So, the first one is going to be unexplained vendor payments. Whatever is unexplained, then it should be a red flag. Second one is employees who never ever take vacations. Huge red flag right there. If someone doesn't want to go on vacation, it's because they're hiding something. Okay. So make sure that you take them to a vacation and you do your audit, your own audit, without asking about anything. Missing receipts. Like if you ask for a receipt and they give you excuses, then start reviewing more often because most likely you're gonna find something. And last but not least, and I think this is the one that most business owners overlook, is sudden lifestyle changes. When employees change their car for a more luxurious car without any explanation, for example, or they buy a house that they wouldn't be be able to afford with their salaries, then it's a huge red flag right there. So those are the four signs I always tell my clients to look at when they have employees, taking control of finances, like bank accounts or checks or cash.
And you know, what you said is very, very important, right? Because these warning signs can help save them thousands of dollars in the future. But it's also good to make sure that the businesses are aware of the type of employees that they do have, because they could have some people that I'm assuming are willing and wanting to work because they're just workaholics and they just love the business and want to be there. So it's just making sure that you understand who your employees are and taking that with a grain of salt. But those are really, really great warning signs to
And
help business owners.
unfortunately, DNA, let me tell you something. The most of these cases come from persons, so from people that are very like familiarized with the business owners, like they are family members or they're very close friends to them, or they have become close friends to the business owner. So business owners get relaxed about it, and they don't review anything, they don't control anything because they trust this person so much. And this is what I tell my clients. Yes, you trust that person, but listen, we have a saying in Spanish, but it's almost like you have to rule your business without a heart, like heartless in that sense. Okay, you gotta take out your heart and review everything and ask questions. Be curious about your numbers and about your books and about your cash and about your checks, because that's your business, it's not theirs.
That is really good advice. So, how does sloppy or weak bookkeeping make it easier for fraud to happen without being noticed?
Well, because business owners, they don't used to like do reconciliations on a monthly basis, and they don't give importance about reconciliation, and they just think bookkeeping is about coding transactions. And listen, coding transactions is not the value of the bookkeeping. The value of the bookkeeping is to close your month and reconcile all your balance sheet accounts, because at the end of the day, that's the most important financial statement for a business owner. So do not skip or review your financials. Do not skip your reconciliations for your balance sheet. Do not skip the reviews of these bank reconciliations, because sometimes you can see a lot. The bank reconciliation can give you a lot of information when you review it, and if you know how to do it, okay? And also, small thefts are they're always they go unnoticed, and they fraud doesn't start big. The fraud always start with the opportunity you give that employee to start the fraud, even with the small quantities. Like for instance, they go to a Starbucks and they buy a coffee with your credit card without your authorization. That's fraud. It's small, but let's say they go to Starbucks every week. You multiply that by 52, it's 52 weeks going to Starbucks with your credit card. So those are the kind of things that you have to be aware of when you are reviewing the bookkeeping for, from that person that is handling your books.
And then when you notice that, this is when you then go find a lawyer.
Exactly, yes. Go find a lawyer and pursue them legally.
Yes. So, what systems and policies or internal checks can owners put in place to protect themselves from fraud?
Well, I think the most relevant and important one will be segregation of duties. And write this down. If you segregate the duties of your employees, for example, you do not let one person handle everything by themselves. An employee, that person takes your cash. You're a restaurant owner, and that person receives the cash from clients, and then that person closes the day and the daily register and counts the cash. And then that same person goes to the bank the next day and deposit that cash into the system, into the bank, I'm sorry. But that same person goes to your system and review how much sales in cash you had versus the cash that was deposited. So that's one, just one person doing everything. You need to do like workflows approvals and reconcile that. If you cannot do it on a daily basis, then do it on a monthly basis, because those cross verifications that you do when you have at least two people doing that will avoid, I will not say 100%, okay, but that will help you avoid in a biggest in a biggest percentage the fraud.
You know what, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, even having systems and policies or internal checks are great, but this is also why having a team is also very important, because then you can then, as a business owner, talk to, your accountant and talk to your tax advisor on how you can then put in potential policies and systems so that you can have the check on the back end by making sure that everything is, you're being protected, so to speak.
Right. And let me tell you something, DNA, just right there, because in that topic, I think the most important thing we have noticed is that business owners, since they have a very small teams, they give like access to everyone with the same user IDs and password. That's a huge mistake. If you cannot afford different user IDs and passwords for different POS, then try to find a solution by doing just one or two or three that you can afford, that you can segregate these users to the employees. But not only that, the fact that when you close your cash or your deposits on a daily basis blindly, don't give your employees the full access of everything. Blind them, blind the reports. Just give me the closing day and you're not going to be able to see whatever is in the system. Just give me the totals and I'm the one as an owner, as a business owner, to do that cross verification if you don't have any more people in your team.
That's really great. That's a great insight. So, I mean, along those lines, how often should a business owner review or audit their financial records to make sure everything is accurate?
Listen, I don't have like a periodicity, but I would say at least quarterly. And don't look just at the reports. Like review the resource, like the, I'm sorry, the sources. If you go to your P&L or to your balance sheet, you go to your general ledger and you see the detail of one account, just pick one account monthly. Let's say office expenses, okay? Review the ledger detail and see what are the transactions that contain that total. Ask questions. And if you don't understand one transaction as a business owner, then ask the question. Because you as a business owner have that right. You need to understand the transactions that are within your general ledger. So at least do it quarterly.
Right. So if fraud is discovered, right, what financial cleanup actions should a business take right away?
Well, first of all, freeze access immediately for that person. Okay? And I would say that sometimes you are suspicion about fraud. If you are suspicion and you haven't found like the real fraud in your business, then involve a professional accountant that do that, that do the audit and review all the transactions without telling this person. Okay? And when you find like the actual fraud and you freeze access immediately, then you have to go to the police or take those next steps, because you don't want anyone else to go through that process the same way that you're doing it. And I'm sorry, but these people, they need to be stopped, and the only way is for you to be able to go to the police and report them. That's the only way, and make a record of it. At the end of the day, you need to document everything. If you're gonna put something on them, you have to have proof of that. So
Right.
if you're suspicious about it, then just involve a professional accountant, audit, or fraud examiner that can help you go through this, through all these details that you can have proof about this. But the most important thing is freeze access. Like if that person is stealing from you, just get rid of that person right away. Don't give him the opportunity or give him the opportunity to stay in your business.
You know what? That's such great advice. And I will say, from a legal perspective, it's always better, I believe, to have all of that documentation prior to going to a lawyer, because what happens is it will then bolster your case, because then we have the evidentiary proof to do what we need to do to sue the person that you're trying to get the money back for the fraud. I mean, a lot of people will instantly think, okay, well, fraud is discovered, I need to go speak to a lawyer. And you totally can, right? But by having more evidentiary proof prior to going to a lawyer, we can then guide you in a different direction, because we're not doing the investigation as the case is progressing. Because obviously there's gonna be some court deadlines that come up if we end up, filing a suit. But I really appreciate your insight. So don't go anywhere. After the break, Olga explains why scaling without clarity can send your business into chaos. Stay with us. We'll be right back with clear explanations, practical advice, and the legal insights you need without the jargon. This is In Plain Legal on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm DNA High Easton, and you're watching In Plain Legal on Now Media Television. Let's continue breaking down the law together. Welcome back to In Plain Legal. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to In Plain Legal anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. As we close today's episode, Olga and I are tackling one of the biggest challenges successful businesses face: growth. Scaling can be exciting, but without financial clarity and strong systems, it can quickly spiral into chaos. Businesses often expand too fast without solid systems, leaving them vulnerable to collapse. Olga, let's talk about it. Why is financial clarity so important before deciding to scale a business to the next level?
Because sometimes when you grow, you're hiding your inefficiencies. So if you don't know your margins or your cash position, expanding just is another problem added to your pipeline of problems, okay? So you need to have clarity in your financials in order for you to be able to scale. And that clarity is what's gonna give your growth or it's gonna keep your growth sustainable. Because if you just grow because of growing, at some point you're gonna stop growing and you're gonna have a mess. So before deciding to, acquire a new location or buy a new business or, hire more employees, make sure that you have that financial clarity, in order for you to avoid any headaches in the future. I'm not gonna tell you that you're not gonna have them, yes, but at least if you have clarity, it's gonna hurt less.
You know what, that makes so much sense, and I feel like people just get really excited about the prospect of scaling the business that they just don't even think about the financial clarity. They might think, can I afford to pay this potential employee? But they're not thinking about the overall big picture of what is the grand scheme of what this potentially looks like. So
right.
I guess along those lines, how do growing pains expose weaknesses in accounting systems that were good enough when the business was smaller?
Well, because of the manual processes. Because sometimes you have so many manual processes that, that they work for one location, but they don't work for five. And you need to create like standard processes in order for you to avoid chaos. And for instance, you have the same way of reporting financials, the same way of reporting missing data. You have like a pipeline of making decisions. Those are the processes that you start to standardize when you start growing in order for you to be, I don't know, more like a business owner, okay? More like an entrepreneur and not like a solopreneur. Because sometimes that's when the growing pains are exposed, that you do not delegate, you do not create these standardized processes. And at the end of the day, what you're going to do is you're going to be the bottleneck of your business. You're going to be, making bad decisions because you don't have enough time to review anything. So the whatever process you created for your first location, if you're not going to be able to scale it correctly, then when you get to location four or five, it's going to break.
And the beautiful thing about that is that when you create those systems in place, it makes it easier to kind of grow to scale because it's a systematic system.
Sounds weird, but that's what it
It's
is.
true. So, I mean, what financial reports or metrics matter most when deciding if your business is truly ready to grow? Oh, this is going to be a great question for the viewers.
Well, I'm going back to my cash flow. Cash flow. Gross, yeah, because sometimes people they overlook cash flow. They think only about the net income and yeah, it is relevant, it's important, but what happens if you don't have enough cash in your bank account to do that, to grow? You need to have leverage in your bank account in order for you to go to the bank and try to get a loan. Also, I think the gross profit margin is one of the biggest, I would say, ratios to measure when you are in a business, when you sell products or even services. I think the GPM is my favorite. If you are in the industry benchmarking your GPM and you know exactly that you are in that same range as your competitors, then you might have a healthier growth system. But also you need to evaluate your operating efficiency. How much of those operating expenses are consuming that revenue that you're bringing into the table? If these are not healthy, your growth is going to drain your resources instead of multiplying your resources. So think about sitting down with a financial professional, because this is not only an accountant. I would say like there are people that are fractional CFOs that can help you get to those measures and create you a framework for this. And when you start your business, if you start like operating, thinking about growing, and you start measuring these three things for your business, it will give you like a great idea when you're ready to scale. Like, oh, I can hire a new person. Now I can, I don't know, get a new office or get a bigger office or I can buy an asset that, is going to bring me more revenue to my business. So I would say these three metrics are like the most, like the best ones for you to start with.
That's really, really great insight. And I'm going to ask you a question that you're probably going to hate because I know as a lawyer, a lot of people ask me this question, and I'm like, I can't give you the answer to that because it depends, right? That's always my answer. But I mean, do you have a particular number that you think that at least, business owners should feel comfortable with having that cash flow before they can start to think about growing? Is there a particular number?
Listen, I would say let's apply the same rule personal finance financial people tell the individuals. Let's have 6 months of cushion for your business expenses. Because listen, with the pandemic, I learned that most business owners were not ready. They were not ready to get to take a hit, okay? They were living paycheck to paycheck, just like individuals. So prepare your business for a 6 month, covers of business of your business expenses, like your fixed ones. Forget about the other ones. Just rent, utilities, payroll, all those expenses that you gotta pay if something happens, God forbid. So if you have that in your bank account, then you kind of start work, thinking about working capital and growth. Because that money that you save, and this is fact, because bank accounts, when they see your bank account like growing, they tend to loan more money to business owners. So if you have that money sitting in, I don't know, a money market account or something like that can give you interest, and Then you go to the bank account and you tell them, listen, I need $200,000, but you have $100,000 in your bank account. Guess what? They're gonna look at you in a better position in terms of cash flow because you have that money saved.
That's great. So, I mean, I guess along those lines, I mean, how can an owner balance reinvesting profits into growth while keeping enough cash reserves for emergencies?
Listen, a few years ago, I read a book called Profit First. Okay. So this guy, he created this methodology, which I implemented my way. I have no affiliation with Profit First. I just read the book. I found it on Amazon and I found it interesting. And since I'm always like cash flow obsessed, I got the book and I implemented a system similar to the book. And I set aside money for taxes, for emergencies, for bonuses, for a lot of things that I know if something happens, I know that I have that money aside. So I'm not telling you to read the book. If you want to, go ahead and do it.
I actually
But
have
what I'm trying to,
the
okay, yeah, great. So if you do like a profit allocation system for your business, then that will be great for your cash flow. Like you will have money for everything. And at the end of the day, that's what we need. We need cash to cover our emergencies and our expenses.
Right. So, I mean, all in all, what role does professional financial guidance play in helping a business grow successfully without losing control?
Well, I think a financial advisor will help you build the structure, build the framework that you need to work on, okay? So you can grow confidently instead of starting guessing, you know, like, oh, I need to guess how much money I'm gonna spend the next week, for example. So that guidance is freedom for you, okay? Make that investment. Sometimes you spend a lot of money. If you take from your bank account how much money you spend on meals and all those things that probably don't bring any value to your business, take that money and invest it into a financial advisor for your business and take it to the tax planner for your business so they can help you, create all this strategy for you, for your cash flow, for everything that you need to do in order to scale consistently and without being you a bottleneck in your business that like you can delegate freely without the headache of being, oh, I need to solve this situation right away.
Right. You know, that everything you shared, Olga, thank you so much for all of your expertise today. Where can our viewers find you and learn more about how NeatBooks helps businesses thrive?
We have our website, www.needbooksllc.com. It's super fun, okay? We are fun accountants. And we also have an email address that you can contact us. It's customersuccess@needbooksllc.com. And you can also find me on LinkedIn if you want to connect with me.
Olga, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on In Plain Legal today.
Thank you for having me, and I hope to see you
You will be hearing from me. You've shown us how to make tax season less painful, how to avoid franchise pitfalls, and how to guard against fraud, and even how to scale a business with clarity instead of chaos. To our viewers, remember, financial clarity isn't just about numbers, it's about freedom and peace of mind. I'm your host, DNA High Easton. This is In Plain Legal on Now Media TV. Until next time, keep building wisely and legally.